He gave us his son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the love gate that all may go in. There you go. Help me out. Hear his voice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Amen. Thank you so much. I want to say, first of all, it's good to be here. And want to remind you of the study that we have on Wednesday now from 6 to 7, which may go to 7:15. We try to keep it within our limits. But this week we're going to be talking about Mormonism. Last week we talked about Islam. And for those of you who were there at the study, I want you to know, I do like to give a test at the beginning of the next session. So you may want to make sure you look back over your notes, especially the theological portion. We're excited. I'm going to say we have two guests. They're not really guests. One guest is the daughter of our council chair, Sister Georgia, Deacon Georgia, and Lisa. And Lisa, I'm going to ask you if you come up and give us a word of encouragement. And the other person who has been away for a while, but is no stranger, I think most of you know that the Toms were the family that brought Cheryl and I to the fellowship many, many years ago. But we are so happy. So, Darlene, we're going to ask you to also come up and give us a word of encouragement. Can we give them both a great big hand? And you can go in whatever order you want. Word of encouragement.
So,
amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Would you pray for us, please? Amen. Clearly, I'm taking. Amen. Thank you all so much for encouraging. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and somebody's going to be victorious, and somebody's going to lose. I don't know who your team is, and so forth. But I thought about that term, victorious, that it's Super Bowl perhaps for all of us every day. In other words, we have our challenges. For some, it's like me, where you've got physical challenges, and I'm getting better. I want you to know about that. And I'm fighting the good fight. I think I mentioned the other week that we're not going to go out of here giving up, but we're going to stay in the fight. And Sister Cheryl sends her regards today. She also, both of us, are holding up one another. We really are. And I want you to know that's my woman. I mean that. I mean it's my wife, but that's my woman. That she is the rib that the Lord gave to me, and I want you to be praying for her. If you get an opportunity, give her a call to encourage her this week. She's at the hotel, but there are many times when we come here, she just can't not move, or she hasn't slept at all because of the pain that she had been going through. But we still feel victorious in spite of it all. Job says in the first chapter, and I'm not preaching from that chapter this morning, but he says in the first chapter, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. And that is the truth about all of us, is that we come in this world with nothing. And we will leave everything that we get right here. So what is it that helps us to get to this word victorious? I believe that it's connecting with things. You're not where you are because you got there all by yourself. And you're not where you are because you got there all by yourself. There's somebody and something that has come into your life that has helped you, gave you the hookup, so to speak, so that you could be victorious. And so I want to speak this morning from that subject, connections for victorious living. And we're going to be looking at Acts, the third chapter. Should be very familiar verses to some of you. It's the story about a man who one would have thought was a victim. He had been lame for over 40 years. The Bible says he was born in this condition. But I want you to know something. I think he teaches us, and I think God is teaching us, how to be victorious. Not so much as the world says, because the world says you got to have a lot of money, or you have to live in a certain house, or you got to own a couple of houses, and you got to have a lot of different things. And I'm saying I don't think it takes all of that. I do believe that there are some things that it takes, but I don't believe it takes all of that. In our text, there are five truths that I think will help us. Our background verse is verse number one. It says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. It was the time when most of the believers of God, those who were of the Jewish faith, and especially those who are now were becoming Christian, would go to the temple and they would pray. Sometimes there would be other individuals who would also come, and they weren't coming there to pray as this guy was coming that you're going to see in just a moment, but he has other things on his mind. So what are the connections? What are the hookups in order to be victorious? The first thing is connect to work. I want to repeat this, young people. You got to go to work. Can I get a witness? I don't believe there's any parent in here who probably didn't tell their children at one point or another, especially if it looked like they were taking a long time to find themselves. Okay, it's time for you to get a job. It's time for you to do something. Verse number two, it says, now a man who had been lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple court. Now, you may read that or interpret that as him being a victim. In other words, God gave you two good legs. God gave you a way to get around. Many of you drove your cars in getting here today. This man, and we find out in chapter 4, he was over 40. It doesn't give us his exact age, but he was over 40 years old. And so if he was put at the gate every day, this was a habit of his. But I want you to notice something, and that is he had a job. His job was to beg. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to do something every day, I must be pretty good at it. I'm showing up. I am looking for folk to give me something. Somebody obviously is giving me something. I'm at the very spot, my spot, the beautiful gate. Notice that the gate's called Beautiful. It has a name. We don't even know the man's name, but he's got a job and he's got a system. I don't know if it's one person or if it's a couple of people, but if I'm going to take somebody every day somewhere, you're going to help me out with gas. You're going to help pay for something in order for me to give up my time to be there. That would just be fair, right? So, in other words, whatever funds he was receiving for this, he probably was sharing with the people who brought him here every day. Do you see what I'm saying? He's not just sitting there doing nothing. I said a moment ago to the young people, I want you to pay close attention to this truth because I believe it is one of the most important truths in the whole Bible. And that is that God says, I will bless your work. Where is that found? 2 Chronicles 17:5. He says, you do the work, you put in the work, and I'll bless you. It doesn't mean that I'll bless everything that you do, but if you are going to be blessed, it'll be because you're doing something. It won't be because you're doing nothing. Nobody just sits around and gets it for free. Nobody just sits around and can expect me to show up. Nobody can just sit around and expect me to bless them if they're not willing to put in the work. It took me to be almost a grown teenager before I understood. I never wanted to be in the Boy Scouts because I just didn't like those uniforms. You know, I was from the Bronx, New York, and you just couldn't wear a Cub Scout uniform in the Bronx, New York, unless you wanted to get beat up every day. Well, I couldn't wear the uniform, but I regret that I did, that I didn't, because the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts actually teach young people how to be industrious. How do you think they get those badges? How do you think they get those honors? They get them because they work for them. Nobody gives them any. Matter of fact, as a parent, if you had your kid in the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts and they never got a badge or they never got anything, you probably would ask them, are you doing your work? Are you doing what's required of you? Why am I sending you if I'm not seeing any fruit? We have a Bible ministry called Awana that is built on. Have you ever had Awana here at Living Hope? Oh, you have had Awana. Okay. And it's built on the same premise. Matter of fact, you learn scripture, you do service work. All that I'm saying to you is that it doesn't matter if it's church or if it's not church. At some point, you are expected to put in some work. I'm so glad about 14 years old, Z, I discovered that I could get work papers when I was in New York. I don't know if they still have that now, but at 14 years old, I could work about, I think it was 20 hours, 15 hours a week. Back then, we were making a dollar an hour. So I was able to make $15 a week, minus the taxes. So I got about $11. Let me tell you what, my allowance started off as a quarter a week, and my daddy brought it up to a dollar a week, and he said, that's all you're going to get from me. So at some point, you're going to have to go to work. Well, $11 a week was looking really good for me. All that I'm saying to you is if you want to be victorious, can I get a witness? You got to put in the work. When I look at these athletes, Deacon Toms, who are going to be playing at the Super Bowl, in my understanding, and you probably know this better than I, they prepare for that all year. And they're there a whole week ahead of time working hard. Why? Because they want to be victorious. You do not get something for nothing. You do not get something just sitting around. You have to decide, I am going to put in the work regardless of if I get anything or not, because I know that you don't get anything unless you put in the work. This man helps us to understand a great principle in life, and that is that I've got to connect myself with work. I've got to connect myself with something industrious if, in fact, I am going to be victorious. Number two, connect to help. Some of us are too proud to ask people to help us. Some of us feel as if we know everything. Can I get a witness, Pedro? No, I'm not talking about you. But some of us do. You know, we won't ask for help with homework. And sometimes you cannot, you know, you won't become the student that you have the potential of being because you never ask anybody to help you. In verses 3-5, we see these words. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for help. He asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. He was a beggar, and so he was looking for some coins. That was his expectation. I don't know about you, But how many of you in here are busy people? Raise your hand if you're busy. I mean, I know some folk in here, they're falling over. When you see them, they zoom, zoom, zoom this way. But if your kid was to say to you, Daddy, Mama, I need somebody to help me ride this new bike that you bought me for Christmas, you'd stop everything you were doing. Why is that? Because you know that they need help. You know that they have the potential for learning how to ride that bicycle. You bought it for them. You put your hard-earned money into it. But you know they're not going to ride it just because you bought a new bike. They're going to ride it because you're going to take some time out to help them. Nobody gets to be somebody without somebody giving them a hand. Can I get a witness? If you make it in life, again, it's because somebody gave you a hand. Somebody helped you up from your situation. Somebody said, hey, look, let me show you how to do that. I know that some of the kids in this area, they love to play soccer. And the same principle, it doesn't matter what it is. Yes, I got to work, but I need for somebody to show me how to do it. I need for somebody to give me a hand. I need for somebody to help me to get up on my feet. You connect me with work. You connect me with the right help. Now, everybody's not the right help because you do have some adults that can't ride a bike. And there's no need of you wasting your time with somebody who doesn't know how to do. But if you know what to do, does that sound like a lot like church? If you know what to do, you ought to be helping somebody to get up and be able to do whatever it is that God has for them to do. Hey, this is how you get victorious. Too many churches allow people to just come and they sit and they sit and they sit. They got that old song down like I don't know what. When we all get to heaven, we're going to sit down by the bank. Stop singing that song and start singing Onward Christian Soldiers or something where people are getting up and they're moving. Can I get a witness? My grandson once came to me. He's 23 now, but he had just finished high school. And his father, who is a banker, told him, you know, it's time for you to get a job. And he's getting ready to go to college, but he had that whole summer. So he got this job selling knives, which you have to sell enough knives, you get a commission on them. And so, of course, he calls his grandpa and he says, Grandpa, can I give you my spiel on these knives? I've got these knife sets and they're very nice knife sets. And you know, the last thing in the world I need is knives. I don't even cook. And they're cooking knives, you know, chafing knives or whatever it is. And he calls me and he gives me the spiel for about an hour. And so at the end of the spiel, he says, Granddad, this set of knives is really, really cheap. They're $500. I said, Jimmy, you don't get out of here. No, I didn't tell him that. I bought the knives. I still got the knives and I haven't even opened the box yet. Why is that? Because I believe in that young man. It was my grandson. You see, I believe that God wants us to believe in others just like you do in your own child or in your own grandchildren and to help them to get up and be victorious. Nobody gets to be victorious by themselves. And here, God gives us an opportunity, maybe not to buy a set of knives. You know, if I had to do it again, I maybe would rethink that. Tell them, look, I'll give you $250 because I know the company you're selling them for is going to give you $50 and keep $450 for themselves. But I would teach them a little bit better about being industrious. Am I making sense to you? Everybody needs help. Number three, connect to Jesus. This to me, you know, people who don't know Jesus Christ, I don't care where you come from, even if you're Jewish or if you're of some other faith, and I don't put anybody's faith down, but I will say this. Because of Jesus in my life, I have learned how to be victorious. Can I get a witness here? You can't tell me I can't be victorious. You can't tell me I can't do. You can't tell me I won't be successful. You can't tell me you don't try. And I'll say, you ask me why, and I'll say, not because of Leroy Ganey, but because of Jesus who lives inside of me. I can do all things through Christ who lives in me. Amen. You can give him a great big hand there. You connect to work, that's good. You connect to people that helps you, that's good. But when you connect to Jesus, you are connecting to something that is not just natural, because any human being that you connect to is natural, but Jesus is supernatural. And there is nothing that he cannot accomplish through you if you only give him an opportunity. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. In other words, he's saying, Sister Georgia, we're just two broke preachers. We don't have any money. But what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk! I don't know why you come to church, but somewhere along the line in church, somebody ought to challenge you to believe in the impossible. Somebody ought to challenge you to think that God can do things that are way greater than you even as a committee can get together and say. Somebody ought to challenge you to use your relationship with God, which is your faith, to do what's supposed to be the impossible. Taking him by the right hand. Remember, we talked about that this morning. The strong hand of Peter, he helps him up. He does that second connection we just spoke about. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. I want all of you to listen to me, but I want especially our young people to listen to me, Maria. I grew up at a time that seems so long ago. I am looking at 80, not quite there yet, but I'm moving towards that point. But when I was your age, I could not go into a restaurant and eat because I was the wrong color. Y'all don't hear me. I could not. We would travel from New York City to South Carolina every year to see our cousins who lived in a shack almost, no bathroom in it, but we loved seeing them. We'd go there and we would work too because they were farmers. But on the way down, a 16-hour trip, we never stopped in a hotel or motel because you couldn't. You weren't allowed to check into a motel because we were the wrong color. And so I heard that over and over and over and over again. The only thing that offset that, because when you hear something enough, what happens? You start believing it. Well, obviously, I must be inferior. Obviously, I can't do. Obviously, I'm not supposed to be able to eat with everybody else. My first Bible study teacher was my mother, and we had Bible study in our home every day. That was the kind of Bible teacher she was, every day, because she wanted her kids to know that with Jesus, You can overcome everything. There's nothing that can hold you down. I am a living witness that with Jesus, you know, it's an amazing thing. When I think about Joseph, when his sons Ephraim and Manasseh and Jacob, his father, who had not seen those two boys, and he goes to bless them. Remember, they become a part of the 12 tribes. And Jacob does this. He puts his right hand, his strong hand, on Ephraim, who is the youngest. And he puts his left hand on Manasseh, who is the oldest. And Joseph says, no, you're making a big mistake, Daddy. You're blessing the wrong one. And Jacob says, no, this is the one who is supposed to be blessed. This is the way it is supposed to go. The power and the lineage of Jesus will come through Ephraim and not Manasseh. What am I saying to you? If God's got to cross over somebody to get to you, if God's got to cross over somebody who you think is better than you, or has got more than you do, or has more skills than you have, or is more prettier than you are, if God's got to cross over them to get to you, he will. Notice something. For God to cross over Pedro, he's got to make the what? He's got to make the cross. The cross of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, is stronger than anything that can hold you down. There is nothing that can keep you from what God has in store for you. And God wants you to be victorious. He doesn't want you to be a victim. That doesn't give anything to his name. He wants you to praise his name. He wants you to give accolades to his name. He wants you to say how great he is, just like the hymns that we sing. Well, you won't do that unless he shows up in your life. Well, I'll tell you, if you are connected to Jesus, you will not only be able to say it, you'll live it. Can I get a witness? I know I'm right about it. And I know there's some folk in here right now, besides Leroy Gainey, who can say that when you get connected to Jesus, oh, y'all don't hear me, all things become new. He starts to make a path for you that was already set out before you were even born, if you just believe. Number one, connect to work. Is that true? Number two, you better say it loud enough so these young people hear you. Number two, connect to what? To help. You can't do it by yourself. Number three, connect to Jesus. That is the supernatural. As a matter of fact, I didn't say this, but Jesus is the great equalizer. I don't care what you were born without. Jesus makes it all equal because, as I said, he'll cross over some folk to bless you. Is there anybody besides me who has had that to happen in your life? Is there any woman in here who has had your blessing come? He passed over the men and lifted you. I've seen women in this church who have done an awesome job because God has given them an opportunity. And I'm saying to you, that's not putting men down. I'm just saying that God blesses more than just men. And he blesses more than just one race or culture of people. He blesses whomsoever will. Let him come. Connect the church. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Now, you have to remember, this is a primary Jewish church. And I would guess that what he's doing is different behavior than what they're used to. There's probably some folk in there that say to him, shh, we are quiet in church. You can't be jumping around. You can't be loud in here. You can't be praising God like that. But he doesn't hear anything. And notice, He goes into the what? The temple courts. He goes past all of those because, you know, he was lame. So he was supposed to be in the court where the folk who were sick. That was the outer courts. He had to come through the court of the women. Then he had to, oh no, he had to come through the court of the Gentiles. Then he had to come through the court of the women. Then he had to come through the court of the men. So he's coming through all of these courts and he's not acting like any one of them. He's just acting a natural born fool for God. Jumping all over the place. And you got Peter and John on one side of him. And there, I call it jumping bean Christianity. He got the I can't help it. You know, something. Why are you jumping like that? I can't help it. I raise my hand because I can't help it. I lift my voice to him because I can't help it. I have to holler out to him because I got the I can't help it. You know, there are a lot of things that you gain from church. But I believe the biggest thing is when you get to the point where you're not watching what somebody else is doing and you're able to give God all of the glory and you're willing to give God all of the praise and you don't care who sees you. This man, for 40 years maybe, was sat at the gate and it doesn't say he ever went in one time. Doesn't say he ever was invited in by anybody one time. And so here he is now, and really, he's taking a chance. Because you know, if people see him walking, they're going to stop giving him money, because that's what we do. Oh, you're able to walk now? You better get out there and get a job. You're able to walk? You better go out there and go to school. But he got the what? He got the I can't help it. I got to go into this place where these people have been helping me every day. And I've got to praise God. You know, when you've been down for a long time, you want to be like the people that you believe got it all together. And sometimes church folk don't have it all together, but the world thinks that they do. And I think we ought to praise, we ought to help them to make that right, that we do have it all together, not because of us, but we have it together because of Jesus Christ. This man goes to church for the very first time. I believe that if he came in here to Living Hope, somebody would say to him, come over here, Bob, and sit by me. Come over here, Joe, and we're going to go to dinner afterwards. Come over here now. You know that mat you were sitting on? You don't need that anymore. We're going to help you get a car. We're going to help you get a job. We want to see you be free and ready to live your life. Because that's what a church does. Can I get a witness? I've seen this church do that. Where you help people, where you take people in. You've taken some people into your homes. I've even seen. And I'm just saying that when people connect to a church, there is nothing like a church. I mean, you have the vertical, which is Jesus Christ, but you got the horizontal, which is people. And you become truly a family. That's why God says out of all of the ministries of the church, he includes fellowship. Why? What does fellowship mean? Fellowship means family. Go ye into all the world and do what? Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, when you baptize people into the church, really what you're doing is you are accepting them into the family. I don't even think this guy knows what's going to happen once he gets in there. But he knows that those people helped him. And I want to be connected to that. You know, for years growing up, I was taught the way to live is you ask people for something. I don't know if you came from that, you know. You look like you never had a hard day in your life. But when you come from the projects, or when you come from the barrios, or when you come from the fields, you have a tendency to think that people are supposed to give you something. And I'm saying there is no greater feeling than when one day you realize I can walk. I can do something. I have worth. And God can use me just like he can use Ganey, just like he can use Georgia, just like he can use Ken, just like he can use Deacon Tom, just like he can use Brenda, just like he can use the whole Asamu family. They were all up singing today. I'm saying that when you come to that revelation, there is nothing that is greater in the whole wide world than to be used of God. Can I get a witness? Not just looking for God's people to give me something, but now I'm ready to be a part of God's family. Well, the last truth. Are these working for you? They work for me. Connect to work. I say, working for me. Connect to work. Connect to help. Connect to Jesus. Connect to church. Connect to helping others. He's full circle. Because remember, he's out there begging now somebody to give him. It's his job. But he could do better than that. And just like the little kid with the ball and the bike, if they're ready to drive a car, who's going to give their kid a bike? I'm gonna buy you a car. You're 21 years old. It's time for you to get out there and do your own. You can do it. I wouldn't do that with a five-year-old. But I do that with my teenager. Can I get a witness? I'm saying that now he's come full circle and he don't even realize it. Look at what happened. When all the people saw him, y'all don't hear me. When they first saw him, what were they probably doing? Oh, there goes that old beggar. There goes old Bob. All he's going to want is some money. And today I'm not going to give him any money. Maybe tomorrow, but he's not begging now. He's not asking for anything now. He's jumping all around and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. Now, there are always going to be some folk who always remember what you used to be. But when God gets a hold of you and you start doing some miraculous things, there's going to be some new folks. They're going to say, let me tell you, there goes Bob the preacher. There goes Bob the teacher. There goes Bob the usher. There goes Bob the deacon. He's doing great things now for God that he wasn't doing before. He used to sit there begging, but now. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I got a feeling that this church hadn't been filled with amazement in years. Can I get a witness? I'm glad that Living Hope isn't like that. I'm glad that there's still some members of Living Hope that come in the door that are looking for God to do something that is outrageous, to do something that is miraculous. They'll do something that's beyond I can think or imagine. Who is it in here that still believes that God is doing great things? It ought not be a once a year thing. It ought not be every 10 years I believe God's going to do something. But every Sunday I'm looking for God. That's why we come together and worship. Because I don't know who is he going to hit this year, this time. But I know that my God is capable of doing things. Could you imagine? The man who was begging is now dancing all around on those feet. I don't know about you, but if I've never walked before, I think I'd be trying my feet out too. I'd be doing that. I don't want to dance too much up here because, you know, I'm just saying that nothing could make me sit down if I never walked. If I never had the use of my legs, I wouldn't sit down for a month. And I want everybody to see my new legs. Let me take these shoes off because I want you to see these legs now. My legs are not that pretty, but I want you to know he's got some pretty legs here because God has touched. He's come full circle and he don't even know it. He's helping Sister Carla, the church, to be the church. I tell you, the church is great when it's worshiping. It's great when it's discipling. It's great when it's ministering. It's great when it's fellowshipping. It's great when it's doing evangelism and mission. But it'll never be greater than when it's believing in the great God, Jesus Christ, and his belief that he can do great things, not for the people down the street just, and not for the big church over there on the other side of town, but for our little church. I believe that God still. How many of you believe me today? Or am I just preaching? I believe. Let me close with this story. A church was on the same block with a bar. Now, for those of you who don't know what a bar is where they sell alcohol. And a lot of people were getting their lives messed up that was going into that bar. And so the church started praying, Lord, you do whatever it is, but we got to get this bar out of this community. And they started praying that. And after a while, a storm came, a flood that was bigger than the one we had a couple of weeks ago. And it almost, well, it destroyed the whole bar and it made the bar close up. Well, the bar owner took the church to court. Yeah, he did. And he sued the church. He said, the reason why my business is not working today is because those people were praying so hard. Now my business is gone and my livelihood is gone because of that church and those people. And the church people got up in the court and they said, you know what? We don't believe that for a moment. We don't believe we're the cause of that man being out of business. We don't believe that at all. And the judge listened to both sides of the argument. And finally, the judge said, you know what? I see what the problem is. The bar owner has more belief than the church people do. And I'm saying to you, you can come and you can sit in a pew every week. But at some point, you have got to come to the point where you say, I am willing to work. I am willing to do. Just give me the help. Send me out because I serve a mighty God. And I'm going to win some people for Jesus because I believe that he can do great things through us. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask our music ministers to come, Sister Maria. I'm going to ask, are you playing the drums now too? No. I'm going to ask our counselors to come. Why do we ask the counselors to come? Because I believe that God can do mighty things in the lives of people who come. Everybody who comes here is not saved. Everybody that comes here doesn't have a church home. The way you get hooked up with Jesus is you come before the church family and you say, I want to be in the family. Then you get baptized. That's how you do it. That's the right way. If your daughter or son came to you and said, oh, mom and daddy, I got me a good girl in my life. I've got a good fella in my life. And I want you to be happy for us. And they said, okay, anything else? That's right. We're going to shack up. I know as a parent, you're going to say, no, you're not. Well, they make you do whatever they want to do because they're adults now. But you probably would say to them, shacking up ain't marriage. Can I get a witness? Well, you want to get hooked up with Jesus. Let's do it the right way. We come before the body and we say, I want to be in the family. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And I want to be baptized. That's like putting on a marriage ring. It won't make you saved, but it says to the world, I belong to him. Won't you stand? Won't you come?